Okay, sir, we are up and recording. If you'll state your full name and title for the record, please.
Yes, my name is Ken Kaposis. I'm the Deputy Assistant Administrator in the Office of Water at EPA.
Ken, thank you for spending some time with us this morning. I wanted to talk to you about the Waters of the United States proposed rule. I'd like to start, if it's okay, by asking you to define exactly what the rule does.
Okay. Thank you for that question, and thank you also for your interest in the actions of the agency. We appreciate the opportunity to share our thinking and what we're planning to do. The agencies, and I use the term plural because this is a rule that is jointly proposed by U.S. EPA and the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, since both agencies have responsibilities under the Clean Water Act. But what the rule will do is it will help to clarify the jurisdiction of the Federal Clean Water Act in light of two Supreme Court cases that occurred, one in 2001 and in 2006. And in both of those instances, the Supreme Court offered guidance to the agencies as to what the scope of the Clean Water Act was, that is, which waters are covered by the Clean Water Act, and the agencies did not revise their rule in response to either case. And so the agencies were responding to requests from basically all stakeholders, whether they be the regulated community, the agricultural community, and industry, home builders, developers, bipartisan calls from members of Congress, the conservation community, the environmental community all suggested very strongly that the agency should do a rule to conform its jurisdictional rule to what the Supreme Court said. So the Supreme Court was largely addressing smaller water bodies. I think there's no dispute that larger water bodies are clearly covered and protected by the Clean Water Act from pollution or destruction. But a lot of the court cases that have arisen around the smaller headwater streams, some streams that do not flow year-round, or waters that do not appear to have a direct hydrologic connection to larger water bodies. And so what this rule would propose to do is to provide greater predictability and greater consistency in how those determinations are made as to what waters are and are not subject to the Clean Water Act. And we're doing this by first being more clear as to what waters are in and using the Supreme Court guidance that it should be those waters that have a significant nexus to downstream navigable waters, and then also by providing more information as to what water features are out. For the first time, we're proposing to exclude a variety of ditches, a variety of areas that are artificially irrigated, ornamental waters, waters used for rice growing, and the such. And we're also specifically saying that groundwater is not covered by the Clean Water Act. The agencies have never asserted jurisdiction, but there's been some uncertainty whether that was the case, so we wanted to clear that up.
Now, Ken, I find it interesting that you use some of the words that you do because your opponents are using the opposite words. So let's talk a little bit about that. You said the goal here is to kind of clarify. Your opponents say that the proposed rule doesn't make it clear which waters are in and which are out, and that the rule is vague and complicated. What would be your response?
Well, first of all, of course, we appreciate their observations in those lines. The rule is out as a proposal right now, so we are actively soliciting comment. We think that one of the things that we believe the rule is intended to do is to provide greater clarity, greater predictability and certainty. We think that if we have failed to do that, if the commenters say that we have not done that, we are very much looking forward to how they would suggest that we could make it more clear, more predictable, and provide greater certainty. In terms of the confusing nature and the vague nature, we've met with some of those groups that have made those comments, and they have, in some instances, raised some valid points on things that we could consider in developing a final rule. But we are in that point in the process right now where hearing critiques and criticisms of the rule is exactly what the process is designed to do at this point, and that's why we put it out for public comment. We don't expect all the comments to be, we love what you did. We also expect the comments to be, we have concerns about what you did, and help inform us as to how we can make it better.
There's been this term navigable water thrown around quite a bit. Now, again, I'm not an expert in this area, but it's kind of my understanding that the original Clean Water Act focused on navigable waters, and now this change would include areas that are obviously not defined as such. Am I correct?
Let me just clarify for you how it works. The Clean Water Act, throughout the Act, uses the term navigable waters for what it applies to. But the Act then defines navigable waters as waters of the United States. And that's the term that Congress told us to use in interpreting what it means when they said the term navigable waters. The Supreme Court three times has offered opinions on the scope of the Clean Water Act, and all three times they have agreed that the Clean Water Act applies beyond those waters that are the traditionally navigable waters. So while there are opponents that are suggesting that the Clean Water Act only applies to navigable waters, waters that are navigable in fact, the agencies since the beginning have not interpreted the act that way, and the Supreme Court in all three instances where they have ruled on this have said the same. In fact, most recently, Justice Scalia, as we all know, one of the more conservative justices, specifically acknowledged that the act applies beyond those waters that are traditionally navigable. So while we accept that argument as a comment, I think it can be fairly stated that we would not agree with that.
Okay. Again, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I understand it is that the goal of the Clean Water Act originally was to regulate those waters that service interstate commerce. So now we're talking about waters that obviously don't do that. So what would you say the goal of this proposed rule is?
Well, the goal of the rule is to fulfill the objective of the Clean Water Act, and that is, it's right at the very beginning of the statute, it says that the objective is to restore and maintain the chemical, physical, and biological integrity of the nation's waters. And that's the term that Congress used. Congress did not limit it to the navigable waters or to interstate waters. It referred to the nation's waters. Now, as is the case in basically all of our environmental statutes, if you look for what is their constitutional authority, it largely comes from the Commerce Clause. But it's not limited to those waters which are used in interstate commerce. The Commerce Clause is much broader than that.
It's been said that this will require land use permits for the area that surrounds the water. By adding nearly 80,000 stream miles, that seems like it could be a problem for landowners. What's your response to that?
Well, first of all, the Clean Water Act does not regulate activities on land. It regulates the discharge of pollutants or fill material into the water. And so people are free to do whatever they want to on their land as long as they don't discharge a pollutant or fill material into a water that's covered by the Clean Water Act. And there has been some considerable comment to us, I think in part because in trying to define which waters are sufficiently connected to the navigable waters, we made reference to try to provide more information that waters that are neighboring these navigable waters would be waters that are in the floodplain. And so people have asked us, are we regulating activities in the floodplain? And the answer is no. The rule does not propose to regulate activities in the floodplain. There may be waters within that floodplain, which are probably going to be things such as oxbow lakes, wetlands, or streams that would be regulated. But the land itself, it would never be regulated.
Okay. But will it increase the need for land use permits, though? I mean, even though you're saying you can do whatever you want on your land, however, if it's affecting these waters, so is that going to increase the need for those permits?
It will not increase. There will be no increase in or change in land use permits required. If somebody is looking to discharge pollutants or fill material into a waters of the United States, into a jurisdictional water, and that's not all waters, it's those waters that are subject to the Clean Water Act, then they would be required to receive a permit. But the proposed rule that we put out for comment actually applies to fewer waters than the current rule does.
Okay, say that again. You're adding. Say that again for me, please.
Yeah, that the proposed rule that we have put out in its current form would apply to fewer waters than today's rule does, and that is because we are now reflecting the decisions of the Supreme Court, and we are adding some exemptions that were not in the former rule, not in the rule that's in place today.
Okay. Let's go back to what your opponents are saying, because I know you're on a time schedule here, so I've got just a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
Opponents say it's an overreach of the government. Response?
Well, we think that we are fulfilling our obligation to implement the Clean Water Act as Congress gave it to us in 1972 and as they amended it in subsequent years. And we are interpreting that statute in accordance with the guidance that the Supreme Court gave us most recently in 2006. We do not consider it to be an overreach. In fact, I can tell you that the science that we're using to support the rule is currently under review by our science advisory board, and most of their questions have been, did the agency consider going farther? But we consider that because Congress did not specifically define what waters are covered by the Clean Water Act, but left it to our discretion, that we're making the correct policy judgment to apply the Clean Water Act as we propose to do in this proposed rule. But we are, of course, expecting a large number of comments. We will be reviewing all of those, and we will make whatever adjustments we think are justified by the science and the law.
In a recent public session with Farm Bureau and some Missouri lawmakers, it was said that the EPA is not friends of the agriculture industry. How do you feel about that statement?
Well, I think that what we know is that we do not have the best working relationship with the agricultural industry. I don't know that I can characterize it as friend or not, but I do know that, as I said, we don't have the best working relationship, but from Administrator McCarthy down here in the Office of Water, we are committed to building a better working relationship with the agricultural industry. We understand the significant role they play in protecting the environment. They are the ones who are out there in the countryside every single day. It is our goal to both protect the waters and also make sure that agriculture is able to produce the food, fiber, and fuel that they do that is so necessary to everybody's daily life and our economy. We know that we have our work cut out for us, but we are committed to creating that kind of working relationship with the agricultural community going forward.
Ken, if you will, just to wrap things up, tell my listeners, if you will, where do we go from here? Where does the proposed rule sit, and how do we move forward?
Okay, and thank you. I think, well, the rule is out for public comment. It's in the middle of the comment period. It'll be out for 182 days. The public comment closes on October 20th of this year. After that period is closed, we will evaluate the comments. As I said, we're expecting a substantial number of comments. The agencies are in a process of dialogue with stakeholder groups right now from all sectors of the economy and all interest groups. We will then take all the comments that we've received, the information from all the dialogue that we've had, and we will look at the rule and make whatever changes we think should be made to the rule. I would anticipate that there will be some changes based on the information that we receive. And then we would anticipate that the agencies would go final with a revised rule sometime in 2015.
Again, Ken, I want to thank you for your time this morning. We certainly appreciate it. Anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I just want to make sure that people understand if they would like to comment on this rule, go on to the EPA website and under regulations, and please offer us their comments and thoughts. We would appreciate it.
And we appreciate your time, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great
Thank
Friday.
You. Thank you, too.
Bye-bye.